There are mistakes sometimes that are made in bulletins. Not that we ever have any in ours. But there was one where the bulletin stated right at the very top, as you enter into the assembly, please sing your name. Instead of sign your name. Sing your name. Can you imagine all of us walking into this building? Hey, I'm Bill Horton. Oh, I mean, you know, Dan Anderson. I mean, can you imagine everybody singing their name as they walked into this assembly today? Well, of course, we don't do that. And the aspect, of course, it is that we do come here every Lord's Day because of one name. That name which is above every name. And we come here to sing and to praise and to thank God for the name Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord. Emmanuel. God is with us. Blessed Redeemer. Living Word. There are many references in the prophets and all down through the scriptures that relates and make reference to Jesus, all as it is within the context of scripture. All of you are familiar with Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where the prophet, 800 years before Jesus was born, said these words, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, "For a child will be born to us, and will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to his increase of his government, of peace, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness, and from then on and forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it." Jesus is called Messiah. He's called the Rose of Sharon, the Star of Jacob, the Bright and Morning Star, Great Physician, God's Anointed One, the Word of God, Chief Cornerstone, I Am, the Day of Spring, Alpha and the Omega, the Great Shepherd, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Ancient of Days, the Rock, and the vine. Those are just a few. But they all refer and have reference to the same person. And his name was Jesus. Why? Because as the angel spoke to Joseph that night, referring and telling him that the child that Mary was now conceiving was not anything other than the result of the Holy Spirit that had come upon her. And he said, "He shall bear a son. She will have a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins." Verse 25 goes on and says, "And Mary kept all these things to herself." And she was a virgin until that point when Jesus was born and gave birth to him. And he was called, and the name he was called was the name Jesus. Jesus. You see, all through the Old Testament, all through the context, there's just one person that the Bible's all about. But there's something about that name that God gave by the Holy Spirit and directed Mary and Joseph. You will call his name Jesus, for he will be the Savior of the world. All through the Gospels, it became Jesus taught this, Jesus healed, Jesus raised others from the dead. Jesus foretells his death, his resurrection. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by that name. Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You get it? How many times did that word come out of your mouth this last week? How many times did you thank God for Jesus? What more precious name is there to you? What more powerful name is there for you, that you and I would come. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. On Pentecost, when Peter stood before that great host of Jews that were gathered there for the Feast of Pentecost in Acts 2:36, these are the words that Peter says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you crucified." This Jesus whom you crucified. Acts 4:12, our text for the day. Remember when they were calling in question, how did this man get healed? Peter says, you're wondering what was and what took place and how it all took place? Well, let me tell you something, gentlemen. This man stands here healed through the name of Jesus. That's what he said, didn't it? Because of the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. And there is salvation and no one else. Why? Because there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. Well, then that means no one can be saved apart from Jesus. No one's going to be saved by their good works. Nobody's going to be saved by keeping the law. Nobody's going to be justified before God other than through their relationship with this one whom God sent, called him Jesus, because he and he alone can save us from our sins. Nobody else can. Nobody else can. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Balked on this about 3 weeks ago, where Paul said to the Philippian church, "For this reason, because Jesus humbled himself, God has highly exalted him, and God has given him a name above which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Must be something very powerful about that name. I don't know, has it changed your life? Is it what you live and breathe every day of your life? Is that the first thing that you think about when you get up in the morning and you begin your walk with God, that you're honoring God through Jesus? You have no other access to the Father except through the Son. And God has opened that door to you and I. That door has been opened only because God has allowed you and me to know that name. And that powerful name. And that name is a name that you should have already bowed to. That's honor. That's respect. That's uplifting. That's giving glory to him in every aspect of it. But I believe in the church today, that name is becoming more and more meaningless. It's such a word. It's just a word. It's just a word. It's just a word. It's just a word. We say Jesus. We say Jesus. But how many of us realize how powerful that name is in the eyes of God? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You remember confessing that? Huh? You know what Jesus did? He lived a good confession. That's what he did. It's one thing to have and say words, but the Bible says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouths, it is confession unto salvation. What Peter did and what these apostles did, what Jesus did, they just wasn't some words. They lived it. They lived it. They breathed it. It was that they believed that Jesus indeed was who he said he was, the Son of God, and it affected every aspect of their lives, and every day, they just didn't word it. They lived it, and it was a testimony of their lives. They even died for that name, didn't they? You say, yes. Yeah, they did. Okay. Then you remember in Matthew 28 that Jesus has called his apostles together, and as he was about ready to, as it was, die and ascend, he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Isn't that what he said? What does all has authority has been given to me? Who gave it to him? The Father did. God did. So what did God do? God empowered that name, Jesus, by giving that name authority. You're listening to me. Okay? I mean, it's important that you understand that. In Acts 2:38, on Pentecost, and the Jew, they heard that God had made this same Jesus whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ. They were pierced in the heart. They cried out, what then must they do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name. The household of Cornelius, Peter is there. He's preaching to them. The Spirit came upon them just like it did upon the apostles in the beginning. Peter then, seeing that what had occurred, he said to the Jews and those who were there, now, who of you can forbid them water? Oh, must be Peter preached water baptism. Who can forbid them water that they may be baptized? And he commanded them in Jesus' name. Right? You read it? Acts chapter 10. Paul meets disciples of John. He asked them, have you all received the Holy Spirit since you believe? They said, we haven't even heard that he's been given. Then why were you baptized? Well, we were baptized under John's baptism. Okay. And then he commanded them to be baptized in what? Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Must be authority in that name. Huh? Must be some authority in that name. Something there more powerful. There are no more three words that are more powerful than those three words. In Jesus' name. They were casting out demons. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You see, there are no words that you and I could say. That's why he said to you and me, if you're going to approach God's throne and you're going to pray, you see, this series is about prayer, remember? What did Jesus say? You will approach the throne of God in my name. Know what he said? Know what he said? In my name. Those three words. Those three words. You'll approach the throne and you're to come before the Father and you're to ask. And you're to ask in my name. Jesus is a great high priest. He passed through the heavens to the right hand of God. It is through his name that you and I can approach the throne of grace, and there we will find grace and we will find mercy in time of need. I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 23 and following. Turn your Bibles to John 16, verse 23 and following. Turn your Bibles. A lot of people can't remember what they hear, but they can remember a lot of what they see. I want you not only to hear it, I want you to see it. You need to see this spiritually. You have to hear what Jesus is saying. You got to hear these words, okay? Verse 23, in that day, are you there? You will not question me about anything. What? Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will do it. Give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be made full. These things I've spoken to you. He's talking to the future. He's looking into a future of things that are yet to come. I'm spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Wow. You see what he's saying? Huh? And now you've asked nothing in my name. But the day is coming when you're going to approach the Father. And when you approach the Father and ask, you're going to ask in my name. Okay? Got it? Remember John 17? Jesus is going to pray for his apostles. He's going to pray for them that the world will believe on Christ, Jesus, through the words the apostles preach and so on and so forth. But Jesus says in the future, I'm not going to pray for you anymore. I'm not going to even make any requests on your behalf anymore. Why? Because you personally are going to be able to approach the Father by yourself. Get it? you're going to be able to go to God yourself in my name, and you're going to ask and be able to pray, and you will open, and God knows He loves you. He's going to open the door. He's going to allow you into His throne room, and you're going to be able to come before the Father. You don't have to have me requesting anything on your behalf anymore, because you will have a personal open door to the Father. Got it? Well, how'd that all happen? You see, because it is our relationship with Jesus that makes that possible, right? He's our Savior. We're reconciled to God, and we're adopted, are we not, into the family of God. Right? And when Jesus taught His apostles to pray, how did He teach them to pray? Our Father. A Father who art in heaven. You see, at that time, God really wasn't their Father. Okay? He was still Elohim. He was still Yahweh. He was still Jehovah. But there was a day coming down the road, Jesus knew that they were going to be adopted into the family of God, that God was going to grant to them the Spirit, an anointing from God, the Holy Spirit, and by that Spirit, they would fellowship with God, and God would be in them, and they would be able to interact with God. And not only that, but by their Spirit having interaction with the Father, the day was going to come when they would call Him Abba. Daddy. Daddy, I'm coming into your throne. I'm asking for help. I'm asking for time. I have a need, whatever. And you're going to be able to do that on your own. Why? Because your relationship with God is the fact that you and I, because of our great high priest, have all become priests. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, we are a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. Maybe, I don't know who you are, but I know who I am. I'm a priest. I function under my great high priest. I am able to, as it is, then enter into the very presence of God. Why? Because I've been anointed to do so. When I was immersed into Christ, I not only had my sins washed away, I received the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. I was sealed by that Spirit. I was made an anointing, and I received that anointing. You, if you truly have understood what God did, He anointed. There's only two people in the Old Testament, only two that were anointed by God. One was the king, and the other was the priest. The anointing of a priest is what allowed them to go into the holy place. Without that anointing, there was no way they would enter into the presence of God. You see, God has anointed us. He anointed you by granting you the indwelling of His Spirit. He Himself has come. And your body is the temple of God, isn't it? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. That means you have continued. That's why Paul could say, pray without ceasing. Because God is eternal. He is in you, and your spirit is eternal now. It has been quickened and made alive in Christ, and you can interact with God personally because He's your Father. He's your Father. No question about that. 1 John 2:20, you have received an anointing from the Holy One. John said in John 16 again, Jesus speaking of the future, I do not say that I will request of the Father on your behalf, for the Father Himself loves you. He's going to be your Father, and you can go before Him, and you can ask Him in my name. Man, that's powerful, isn't it? Because we are priests now. We can personally make our requests. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, since we have boldness and confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Didn't James say, draw near to God, and He will what? Draw near to you. Verse 22 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. There ought to be nothing more coming off your lips than these words, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no authority other than the fact that Jesus gave you that authority, that you can ask in His name and you can approach the throne. You can go to the Father because you are now one of His children, and you can personally approach Him and you can ask for help, grace, whatever it is. You can go before God and you have the authority in Jesus' name to ask. Oh, wait a minute. What is that acrostic? Ask. What is it? Ask. Seek. Knock. Remember, ask. Seek. Not get it. Picture. Jesus said, if you don't ask, you will not receive. How about ASAP? When everything else, what do? Always say a prayer. When you see a stop sign, S-T-O-P. Every time you see a stop sign, what should it bring to your mind? Come on. Strength through our prayers. Write it down. Every time you see that, it doesn't mean step toe on pedal. It means strength through our prayers. It should remind you, okay? Listen, I'm not the healer. God is. If you're having marriage problems, you need to go to God, not some counselor. You hear me? You need to get on your knees and humble yourself before the Lord, God of heaven, and cry out to Him for help. He will exalt you, and He is the healer. He can do that. You know that. But it takes you humbling yourself before the Father. And you humble yourself in such a way that you recognize that He is the only one who can. We're going to the Father because we need help. And God sent you a helper. He's called the Holy Spirit. A paraclete. One to walk along beside you and to help you and to guide you. God has not left us helpless in any way, shape, or form. And He has empowered you by giving you three words through His Son that you can use. And you can approach Him. And those three words are what? In Jesus' name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. I doubt very much that there's probably not a day that you go by that you don't hear somebody taking God's name and Jesus' name in vain. Jesus is the most precious name that has come from. There is no other name from heaven by which we must be saved but the name Jesus. We need to hallow that name. We need to glorify that name. We need to thank God for that name. And we need to walk in that name. We need to honor that name. We need to praise God in that name. We approach the Father in that name. That name is the most powerful name that has ever been broken from heaven and given amongst men. Because by that name, you must be saved. By that name, you must be saved. I don't know if you're a Christian today, but I'm telling you, if you've never confessed the name of Jesus Christ before men, you don't know what that means. You have to, you know, as Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch, chapter 8, Bible says, the eunuch, he preached from Isaiah, talking about this one who had been led like a sheep to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. And Philip took him from that same passage and preached unto him Jesus. They came onto a certain water, and the eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Must be Philip preach baptism in preaching Jesus. Can you preach Jesus and not preach baptism? If on Pentecost, Peter said, be baptized in Jesus' name. A household of Cornelius, be baptized in Jesus' name. The disciples of John, be baptized in Jesus' name. You see, it is by the authority of Jesus that we're commanded to be baptized. He commanded them to be baptized, didn't he? He didn't suggest it. Baptism isn't some church ordinance. It isn't a work. It's a divine gift from God. You know, the Bible says that the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of that day rejected God by refusing to be baptized by John. Now, what it says? Well, how about those who refuse to be baptized today because it has nothing to do? Really? It's the only command in the Bible that is accompanied with me going, making a disciple, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It has the command and the authority of God's Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it? It sure does. Okay? So I'm thinking here today, maybe you've never obeyed God. Maybe you've never been truly obedient to that command, and you know you need to be and you want to be, and we'll certainly ask you to make that confession of your fact. That's what Philip said. If you believe, you may. And Philip said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. They commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him, right? And they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. And what did the eunuch do? He went on his way rejoicing. Wow. You know, I am not asking you to do anything that Jesus hasn't already commanded. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what it says. I'm not going to mix it. I'm not going to argue with it. Peter said, repent and be baptized. It's what it says, isn't it? Black and white. Don't wrestle with it. Don't argue with it. Just obey it. And do it in Jesus' name. Because you want to honor Him as the one who is in authority. Amen? Father in heaven, I thank You for Your precious gift of salvation. A gift that comes to us by Your grace. A gift that cannot be earned, but a gift that is indeed one that is granted on our willingness to be obedient to Your commands. Thanking You, God, for Your Son. We're thankful for Jesus and what He means to each of our lives here today. We're grateful that You have given us those three words and that we can come before You in His name. And we know that, God, You hear our requests. We know You're a faithful Father. You do not waver. You do not change. I pray Your blessings upon this congregation, each one that's here today. God, increase our faith. May our prayer lives become more vibrant and more enthusiastic and more meaningful. And may they indeed bring again a radical transformation individually within our own lives and within this congregation. And God, may we realize that we can have a influence, an impact upon our government, upon this nation, upon this world. Because God, You're the one who raises up nations. You're the one who brings them down. You have told us to pray for those who are in authority. You have told us to pray for them and to pray that we might lead a peaceable and a gentle life. God, I just ask You to make us a people that pray. Pray consistently. Pray earnestly. As our Lord said, men ought always to pray. Bless us as a body that will become a praying people. And we'll see You being able to move and act in the lives of each and every one of us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.